Please be seated. On July 12, 1986, I stood before God and a church full of people, and I promised to love, comfort, and honor my wife, Lori, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. That same kind of promise was made by thousands of other people across the world that day. Yet, we all know that more than half of the marriages in our country end in divorce. On November 2nd, 1987, and November 26th, 1990, I held a baby girl in my arms, and I promised that I would love her no matter what, and that I would always be there for her. Millions of other fathers have made such a promise. Yet, the neglect and abuse of children in our country perpetuates a cycle of violence and poverty that seems to have no end. On May 12, 2002, and December 3, 2002, I once again stood before God and a church full of people, and I promised to commit myself to the trust and responsibility of the church, first as a deacon and then as a priest. Thousands upon thousands of other people have made that same promise. Yet, you only need look at a newspaper to see the incredible abuse by clergy of those who are helpless. The list for me could go on, and you could make up your own list from your own stories. It just seems like this voyage that we call life consistently calls us into communion with each other through the promises that we make. I guess that's how it should be. Because there is no greater and no more selfless act than that of making a promise. In a very real way, a promise reaches into an unpredictable future and attempts to make at least one thing predictable. Promise means that we're really willing to stretch ourselves into circumstances that are beyond our control and try to control at least one thing. That we agree to take on a role and intend to be there no matter what. And when promises are freely made, in a way, a new creation is formed. A new creation of ourselves and another or others, where we dare to stake a claim into the future and assume some measure of responsibility for it. It's in the words of a promise that we can, in some small way, began to understand the power and the risk and the selfless love of God for Noah on that sandy shore so long ago. Now, I love the story of Noah, but I'll admit parts of it make me really uncomfortable. But God tells Noah in today's text that he has set a bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of a covenant between God and humankind that there will never again be a flood to destroy all flesh. And I guess I could just leave things right there and have a nice little sermonette about promises. But I'm afraid in doing so, we would miss a much greater truth. Because you see, I'm not so sure that God is making a promise to Noah in today's text. God's promises to Noah were made when God instructed him to build the ark in the first place. Today's text is different. I'm not so sure that God is making a promise in today's text. I think God is keeping a promise. And there's a big difference. And it's here where I think we can find God speaking to us just as clearly as he did to Noah. When we make and dare to keep promises, we make choices. We choose not to quit when the going gets tough because we promise to be there no matter what. We choose to stick with what seems to be impossibly lost causes, even when that doesn't make any sense. Anyone can make a promise, but daring and caring enough to keep our promises is, for me, what is at the core of today's text. And there's a real paradox there, because the very freedom we have to make promises limits our freedom when we keep those promises, because it's no longer just about ourselves, but rather about how we deal with another human being. And please don't misunderstand me. Few examples of broken promises are black and white, few if any. We are not God. We won't and keep and can't keep all the promises we make. And the reality of human life is that sometimes we shouldn't. Sometimes relationships do become broken. Sometimes people change, circumstances change, and sometimes breaking a promise is the only means of keeping our promises to God and to ourselves. But I do believe that today's text calls us to take our promises seriously, to understand the risk of making them and the cost of keeping them. Keeping his promise to Noah, God chose love. God chose trust. It did result in a new creation, one where God risks extending himself into the future and assuring us, no matter what, that he will be there. It's a promise of hope, a hope that reflects God's confidence in creation, despite how hard-headed and hard-hearted we might be. And the truth is, God doesn't need to destroy the earth again, because we've proven to be perfectly capable of that ourselves. And for me, the great message of this Old Testament story is that promises are the place where new creations begin, but it is in promises kept where the world is transformed. As we begin this season of Lent, I don't know what promises you've made to God or to each other or to yourself, and I don't want to know, because for me, the season of Lent is very personal and private. But I do know promises that each and every one of us have made. And maybe there's no better place to start this season of self-reflection and repentance than to remember those promises. See if this sounds familiar. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And I've seen each and every one of you say yes. Say yes to those baptismal promises. Because much of how we live and move and have our being as Christians is embedded deeply in those promises. Those promises are the very fabric of our existence as a community of faith. But the hope of Easter has absolutely those promises, our promises kept. God love you. Amen.